I have to admit, I've never been much of a gardener. Even growing up in rural Wisconsin, our family had a pretty good-sized garden, but I really never helped out very much. Though I can still see my mom hunched over, weeding around the flower beds while my stepdad would be tilling between the rows. He'd be wearing cut-off shorts and no shirt, beer in one hand and tiller in the other, just tilling between the rows. I also remember the years when we had a pickle patch besides the garden. My mom and my sister and I would pick our cucumbers and take them to a local collection spot where they would be graded and weighed. When the whole process was complete, they would write us a check. I hated every minute of it, except when we got the money. And when I was a couple years out of high school, I worked on a farm for about 3 years. But I wasn't really involved in the planting or the harvesting of the crops. I mainly took care of the animals. So it is with much surprise that I learned how much I enjoy working in Katie's garden. In the early morning hours, while the neighborhood is still pretty quiet, and before the heat of the day, it's nice to spend a little time out there. The fragrance of the petunias is wonderful, and the smell of tomato plants on your hands is the scent of summer itself. It has been encouraging for me to see people come together, working in the soil for a common cause. And it was work, hard work, to get it where the garden is today, planting and planning and watering and treating for insects and training the cucumbers and the tomatoes, which aren't very bright, by the way, pulling weeds. It's all part of it. But most of all, I'm amazed at the miracle of growth, how God takes a seed and causes it to grow, to blossom, to produce fruit. Last weekend, we saw some of these fruits, first fruits, if you will. A few cucumbers, several zucchinis, just a taste of what is to come. But it all started at some point from a seed. In the gospel for today, from the fourth chapter of Mark, Jesus uses the illustration of planting seeds to help us understand the kingdom of God. In the first parable, the seed is powerful, growing without the help of the sower. It does not need man's wisdom or devices to help it bear fruit. The second parable, which will be the focus of our sermon, emphasizes the hidden power within this seed. Though the mustard seed seems insignificant, incapable of anything great, it grows and provides shelter and refuge for many. But just like the tiny seeds planted in the garden, Jesus and the kingdom of God often appear insignificant, unimpressive, incapable of doing anything great. At first glance, the kingdom doesn't seem like a kingdom at all. Christ had no armies. Instead, he had 12 ordinary-looking guys following him around. The kingdom included the least desirable people, sinners, prostitutes, tax collectors. You might just as well have invited anyone into it. And he did. Some kingdom this was, insignificant, unimpressive, and by all appearances, it seemed incapable of doing anything great. The kingdom really took a blow when this king was hauled off, tried before Pilate, and sentenced to die. Jesus, it appeared, was no match for some lightly armed temple guards, to say nothing of the mighty Romans. He claimed to have this mighty army at his disposal, yet they never came. He seemed to fail miserably under pressure, having no answer for his accusers, no eloquent final inspiration for his followers. Hanging on the cross, he looked as helpless as an ordinary slave. And dead, well, dead is no way to lead a kingdom. Of course, Jesus knew all this. That was exactly his point when he spoke of the mustard seed. And he said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God? Or what parable shall we use for it?" It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when sown on the ground is the smallest of all the seeds on the earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and puts out large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. Though that seed was tiny, from it would grow the largest plant on the earth. From something so insignificant, unimpressive, seemingly incapable of doing anything great, would come a plant so wonderful that living creatures can find shelter and refuge in it. When it comes to the kingdom of God, it is important for us to understand that the kingdom of God, which Jesus was referring to, is a reference to himself and his saving work. Scripture tells us that Jesus sat with the people, taught or healed them, and then proclaimed, "The kingdom of God is in the midst of you," from Luke 17, verse 21. Or, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand," from Matthew 4, 17. The kingdom of God is not primarily a place or a people. The kingdom of God is where Jesus is, through his words and deeds, and on the one hand, is invisible. Saving faith in Jesus Christ cannot be seen by the natural eye, nor can we see it in the heart of another person. But on the other hand, believers live in the world, and their lives point to Christ by what they say and do. We as Christians would do very well to remember and believe this lesson, because not much has changed in the world since that day. Unbelief still reigns in the hearts of men. The kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God is here. Jesus is as active today among us as when he healed the paralyzed man and forgave his sin. He is as active today as when he gave the blind their sight. He is as active today among us as the day he fed the 5,000. For Jesus comes to us through the means of grace, his word and sacraments, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us, to give us life. We are called to faith by his word. He washes away our sin in baptism. He feeds us his supper for our salvation. The kingdom of God is here. Christ reigns today in truth and grace through the ministry of his church. And yet, to the naked and unbelieving eye, the kingdom of God, this kingdom of grace, just doesn't look like very much. To the skeptic, bread is just bread. Water is just water. Wine is just wine. Spoken absolution is just a bunch of words. And the only thing that sermons heal is a bad case of insomnia. But perhaps what's even worse than that, when viewed by Christians, the kingdom of God among us still seems insignificant, unimpressive, and incapable of doing anything great. I'm sure you've heard the list of concerns that many churches in general have. Attendance numbers are dropping. The offerings are going down. We can't seem to get our members to volunteer. When we do evangelize, it seems to fall on deaf ears. And more than that, society in general seems to be more and more against God. It's at these times that Christians may lose heart and be tempted to redecorate the good news to make it more appealing, or water down the word to make it more appetizing, or even downplay the cross to make it less offensive. This is what happens when Christians lose heart, believing the kingdom presented here is just an insignificant mustard seed. When that is all we can see, we are in trouble. So once more, let's remember the truth of our Savior's words. The kingdom merely appears insignificant, unimpressive, and incapable of doing anything great. Jesus said that while the mustard seed is the smallest of the seeds, when it's planted, it grows and becomes the largest plant in the garden, with such big branches that the birds can perch in its shade. In faith, we see things as they really are. Every Sunday morning, the seed of the gospel of Jesus Christ is sown, and the people hear. The Almighty and merciful Creator speaks to us through Holy Scripture and through the pastor. And we speak to him in our prayers, and he listens. We praise the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in song. Together we stand as one body, past, present, and future, baptized in Christ, and boldly confessing the true faith in one voice, clearly stating who God is and the work he's done in the words of our historic creeds. And yes, sins are forgiven. Having heard the word in faith, we repent and hear the sweet word of promise. My sins, your sins, are paid for by the death of our Savior, Jesus Christ, pronounced to us in absolution and received by us in the supper of Christ's body and blood. Guilt is replaced by peace. Death is replaced by life. As Luther so simply put it in the Small Catechism, where there is forgiveness of sins, there is life and salvation. And through all these gifts, the Holy Spirit is at work strengthening our faith and love toward God and love for our neighbor. That's the mustard seed growing. And that, by the power of the Spirit, is what happens here. To miss this kingdom in the ministry of the church would be like looking into the manger and seeing a poor, unfortunate baby. To overlook the word and sacraments as silly superstition would be like someone looking to the cross and only seeing the execution of a religious idiot. In this life, in this world, the kingdom of God will appear to be just a mustard seed, insignificant, irrelevant, and incapable of doing great things. But as you know, it just wasn't another baby in the manger, and that wasn't a religious sap on the cross. Because we know, we rejoice the good news of Jesus is revealed to us. The Word of God, hidden in common earthly means, has a power that forgives all our sins, calls us to faith, and gives us eternal life. And like those birds that Jesus talked about, seeking shelter in the shade of the mustard plant, we live by faith within the shelter of this kingdom of grace, where Christ's righteousness covers all of our sin. And then one day, our Lord returns. We and all the world, believer and unbeliever alike, we'll see just how great the kingdom of the mustard seed really is. But until the day of Jesus' return, we who live in and with this knowledge of the mystery of the mustard seed live lives of extraordinary hidden significance. No one may take notice of a father or a parent who has devotion time with their children for just 5 minutes at the end of a day, seemingly insignificant. A small amount of time. But remember the mustard seed and rejoice in what you do in Jesus' name. Likewise, a simple invitation offered to someone to come to church where the gifts of Jesus are given is seemingly a small gesture. It won't make a Facebook post, but it could cause the angels in heaven to rejoice over one more plant in the garden. It's just like Jesus said in the other parable in our text. The kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. He sleeps and he rises night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. We don't understand it. We don't understand how the seed of faith, when planted, grows. It's a miracle. Our garden, Katie's garden, is a great example of that. But we do know that unless the seed is planted, it will never grow. For you and me, who own this glorious mystery, it's our job. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Please don't forget it. Behold it in faith, and then live in its grace. Invite people to come to this place where the precious seed is sown. And let us pray that God will make it grow among us all. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, as you have begun a good work by planting your kingdom in our world, bring it to a full harvest in your own good time, through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.